Hello, everyone, and welcome to the LFC Roundtable Podcast. This is the podcast where we talk about everything that's happening on the feeds. I am your host, Taryn Armstrong, and with me today is the endearingly edgy Melissa Denny. How are you doing, Melissa?
How am I endearingly edgy?
You were on fire on Friday night, or Thursday night, whenever it was. Friday morning, I guess.
That's true. I have to try and pick it up today. I'm a little tired. Alex and I essentially just woke up, which is kind of sad, considering it's like one here.
You West Coasters. Unbelievable.
Yeah, us West Coasters. We're just crazy.
All right. Also with me is the ferociously flashy Brent Walgamont. How you doing, Brent?
Hello. How are y'all doing? I'm actually texting Mike Bloom right now. I just realized that the things that we use to record our podcast, which one of them is called Audacity, I had Audacity going this entire time, even after I got done with the RuPaul's Drag Race podcast and into the pre-show of our podcast. So when Mike listens to it, he's going to hear Taryn's voice and that he doesn't. What? Why am I hearing Taryn's voice here?
Yes, I will be at the end of the RuPaul's Drag Race podcast.
Apparently, yes. Yes, you're a guest appearance.
Guest starring. Also, finally with me today is the great and glorious Alex Kidwell. Alex, how you doing?
Ooh, great and glorious. I like it. It's like my namesake, the original Alexander, the one that he'd have been pretty good at Big Brother, that guy. What is
that? He was a conqueror. Do conquerors do well?
I mean, well, he would have done well in the sense that people listen to him, but the fact that he named like 30 or 50 cities Alexandria, like that's probably a little too much hubris to succeed. He'd get HOH-itis for sure.
Oh yeah. Yeah. There we go. Yes, we are here live on this wonderful Sunday afternoon, and we will be live every Sunday at 4 p.m. Eastern to argue about what's been happening on the feeds. We have the chat room open on robhezawebsite.com. You can send in questions to me at Armstrong Taryn on Twitter if you want them answered on the show. Let's get into this. These feeds, this Big Brother Canada 5, Final 5. We're getting down to it. There's only 1 week left after this till the finale. What's been happening? We got Kevin. He won HOH. What was Kevin's plan, Alex?
Well, you know, from what we saw, you know, we saw enough in the triple eviction episode, I think, that clearly indicated that Kevin is working with Karen more than Dimitri's Nika at this point. I mean, even in that moment where he uses his veto in the triple, you messed up, Dimitri. Like, he's really pointing at Dimitri's and telling him, like, we usually don't see this kind of a moment from Kevin, right? This is more of like an Ika move to be like, you did this, you screwed up, or even Karen has done this. Like, you made the wrong move, man. You made the wrong move. And Kevin really felt like he laid it on the line and sold them what was a legitimate pitch. The three of us need to be the final three. We have to get to the end. I mean, it's not a bad pitch if you're a showmance and someone wants to go to the end with you. How often do we see that? Nobody wants to go to the end with a showmance. And the fact that Kevin was willing to speaks volumes. But yeah, I mean, again, it just comes back to Kevin has no allies in this house. Everyone would take out Kevin next if they could. It doesn't matter who's working with who. Kevin's next to go if Kevin's available to go, because Dimitri's can beat everybody else. Like, there's just no threats on the horizon once you get rid of Kevin, it would seem. So yeah, Kevin's going after them, and they're going after Kevin now.
All right. What did you think about that, Brent? Is this the right move for Kevin?
Going after Dimitri's and Ika, yes. I mean, you know, as Alex correctly pointed out, Kevin has to win out no matter what. I mean, I think the bigger issue is that as Kevin tells everybody, and I wish he'd shut up about this a little bit more, all of his friends are in jury. You know, he even made a joke about that on the show. I wish he wouldn't do that as much. I wish he would at least, you know, sort of shade the truth a little bit, you know, like, you know, Cindy really didn't like me very much, you know, I was having problems with William at the end, Dre and I never got along, you know, just different things to maybe put some doubt in the minds of people that he isn't as big of a massive threat as he thinks he is, or as they think he is. Because I really feel like that, as we're going to find out later in this podcast, that might come back to bite him in the butt if people are really deathly afraid that, you know, if Kevin gets to the end, none of us have a chance. If they really truly believe that, then they're going to want to keep in somebody who can defeat Kevin and give them a chance at the end. And that man's name is Dimitri's.
Yeah, I was thinking the same exact thing this entire like weekend is, why does Kevin keep saying like, well, yeah, obviously I'd win against anybody and what if we get to the jury in final two? Like, why does he keep saying that? Why? Like that I mean, at the very least say like, well, I don't know. You never know. The jury could think this or that. But instead, he keeps agreeing with everybody whenever they say it to him. And he's just like, well, yeah, obviously I'd win against anybody. That's not good for you, Kevin.
And please tell me, I must say this because I tweeted this out in a little bit of a vulgar way last night, but I'll own it today. I don't like it when people just wave off Kevin's bad moves and his bad stuff. And I feel like that's been happening way too much with many of Kevin's friends. Obviously, I know Jordan and him are very close. I feel like Jordan... Look, I love Jordan. I'm not throwing shade on him, maybe a little bit, but I feel like he's just sort of giving him a pass. And I don't feel like we should give Kevin a pass. As somebody who we have held in a very high stature, at least until this season, Taryn, I feel like it's
incumbent of Taryn.
Well, I was talking the collective we. I was trying to be nice. I already threw shade at Alex. But I was just looking, you know, we all of us had him high in our boards, best player to never win Big Brother Canada when we did that podcast, even if, you know, we didn't have him number one like Alex did. So I feel like.
No, you had someone who's already out of the game. Ah!
I know, right? It's incumbent upon us.
Oriented win.
It's incumbent upon us to point out his flaws because we do praise him enough, I feel like.
Yeah, I mean, I think. You know, the real flaw here is, again, like a lack of awareness of where people stand. And he's not even talking to people to understand where they are. He's just assuming that he knows where they are and he's wrong. So, I mean, that's really what's killing him here.
He thinks people are the way he is. He thinks people behave the way he behaves and the way he thinks and the way he logically thinks through the game. And that is the biggest mistake. Someone pointed this out on Twitter that, you know, is that the biggest mistake that people make when they eventually lose Big Brother, is just assuming that people think the way they do, Alex?
I think that's a big downfall for a lot of like quote unquote super fans, right? These people that are like logical animals that are like, you know, quote unquote game bots, if you will. Like, I think that human connection, what you're talking about, yeah, that is, that's a big piece. And then also like just not realizing how many people come into this game not thinking the way you do, not able to separate emotion from strategy, not really able to say like, well, this person really did piss me off and really did come after me last week, but getting rid of them is not best for my chance at winning this money. Like you see, some people just can't do that. If they could, Jackie would still be in the house. So yeah, I think it just goes to show that Kevin is one of these people that just kind of is like, you know, his internal wiring is a little different than everyone else who's left in there, who's playing a little bit more with their heart on their sleeve. And as a result, yeah, I mean, Brent's right that, like, you know, there are things that, you know, he shouldn't be just accepting the fact that, like, yeah, the jury would vote for me. But it's such a catch-22 because it's like, it's almost like no matter what he does, he just has to win now because nobody wants him there and nobody will want him there almost no matter what he says. You know, yeah, he could say better things. I'm not like saying just go ahead and be a terrible player and excuse that, but yeah, I mean, it's, you know, he's in kind of he's damned no matter what he does, unless he wins out, I think. So ultimately, yeah, it's just a spot where, yeah, ideally he'd say something like, hey, no, I think Netta really, you know, will be mad at me for not, you know, pushing Cindy or something. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, there are plays, but yeah.
I mean, I feel like his obvious play is, you know, Aika. You know, Aika is the biggest threat. Aika has ruled this season. She's been part of the power couple. She's been the queen. We've all called her that. If Aika gets to the end, obviously she's going to win. I feel like there are plays that he can make to say, you know, just because people are my friends, that doesn't mean they're going to vote for me. You know, they're going to look at game. Like, this is about game. These are veterans, you know? You know, he needs to downplay that more. Mm-hmm. So I do feel like there are a couple scenarios where he could be on the block and people could look at the other person and say, no, I'm going to vote out this person, you know, and I feel like that's being dismissed by other people. And I feel like that we shouldn't give him a pass for that, Melissa.
Well, I also think it's tough because he's playing to Dylan and Karen and they're not logical at all. So, you know, you've got like, you've essentially got Dylan who's like, I just want to get second place. Like, I don't care. Like, I just want to get there. Who cares who I'm with? Like, whatever. And you've got Karen who's like crying to like Aika and Dimitri saying like, I want you two to be at the end. Like, you guys deserve it. I wanted the best people to win, you know? And it's like, no matter what Kevin says to them, they're not thinking for themselves. They're not thinking like, I want to win. How do I get there? How do I get there with the person that I'm going to win against? They're just thinking like, you know, who cares anymore? So anything Kevin says to them, I don't think they would even buy it, like, or even care to buy it. They'd just be like, yeah, yeah, sure. But we want Aika and Dimitri's in the end. Like, there's no play.
It's interesting. It's interesting to me that Kevin looks at this game way too, you know, black and white, right? Like, he's ignoring personal relationship. He's ignoring what the people are actually telling him. He's only looking at positioning and what's in their best interest. Therefore, what are they going to do? And Aika is almost at the other end of that spectrum, where she made a very big mistake a few weeks ago when she trusted Dre way too much. And she got in trouble because she wasn't looking at positioning enough. She was focusing too much on personal relationships. They're both these opposite ends of the spectrum. Mm-hmm. And really, the correct thing to do is to take both into account, because you need to focus on, who do I have a relationship with? Who do they have a relationship with? What are they telling me? Can I believe them? Can I read them? But also, what is in their best interest? Because even if you read them correctly in the moment, that doesn't mean that they're going to turn around and figure things out that, like, oh, maybe this isn't in my best interest, or that they're playing you and that you can't read them correctly. And therefore, you need to be aware of the fact that in the position that they're in, they still could stab you in the back. So you need a combination of both. Kevin seems to have very little of the social awareness of who has the best relationship with who, and who is lying to me, and where do they stand in terms of what they want to do as opposed to what's in their own best interest.
Yeah, I mean, it is interesting too, because I'm reminded of, you know, in looking at like the way Karen and Dylan are playing this end game, it's like I'm reminded of And the fact that Kevin is, like, he's trying to objectively see what's in everyone's best interest, and that's just not correct in this moment. But I think it was an interview that Jeff Probst did with Josh Wigler at the start of this Survivor season, where he's talking about kind of this idea and Survivor casting. I think most people would agree. I mean, people had their qualms with this season in part, but like by and large, it's been so good in recent years. Survivor casting has been very strong. And Jeff was talking about it and really described it like a poker game. And how, if you're at the poker table, the most infuriating thing is someone who actually doesn't know how to play poker. Like, you would think you don't want to play against people who are better than you. That's actually not true. You don't want to play against people who have no clue what they're doing, because people who are better than you, at least you can anticipate what the correct move is for them, because they're going to make the optimal move for themselves. It is very infuriating to play poker with someone who has no clue what they're doing and shoves all their money in on a whim and gets lucky, because that will happen. And that, to me, is like the Dylan and Karen of this game. Like, we've cast people who really don't know what they're doing when they sat down at the table. And so it shouldn't be any surprise that, like, we can't seem to predict where they're going, because they don't even know what the right thing is to do for themselves.
Yeah. So basically, you know, what we're talking about here is that Kevin is very concerned about, he needs to make sure Dimitri leaves the house. And in order to do so, he's thinking, perhaps, you know, now that he's nominated Ike and Dimitri, which we, you know, briefly talked about, he's thinking, maybe I need to take Ike off the block and replace her with Dylan, because Karen would never turn against Dylan. And then it would be a tie vote. I would be able to vote out Dimitri. If I don't do this, then I have to trust both Dylan and Karen to do what I want, which is take out Dimitri. And I don't know if I can trust them. Therefore, I need to make sure I lose at least one of these two big guys and nominate Dylan and hope that Karen would never vote out Dylan. Obviously, he's incorrect, however, that Karen would definitely not vote out Dylan, because Karen has had these conversations, as Brent, I think you mentioned, where she's saying, I want you guys to win. I don't care about me winning. I want Dimitri to win. I want him here in this game, even over Dylan. So Kevin is essentially right now saving Dimitri from the block if he does this.
Well, I agree. He's doing a couple different things. Number one, he's playing into their hands, which, you know, you never want to do. And he's not going to get his way. I feel like no matter what Kevin does, his possible options that he's going through right now, unless they blow the plan and something changes, I feel like the only things that Kevin's going to do at this point are, A, because if he wins the power of veto, he could leave the nominations the same, or he could remove Aika from the block and replace her with Dylan, forcing Karen to vote out Dimitri again, which is not going to happen. Karen wants to vote out Dylan and save Dimitri at this point. The other thing is that Karen and Dylan have also talked, and they have decided that if the nomination stayed the same, that they were going to not do what Kevin wanted to do. They were going to vote out Aika and make sure they keep Dimitri, because they need Dimitri to beat Kevin at the Final Four to have any chance of somebody else winning this game besides Kevin. And as you know, if you listen to Karen at all this season, Karen, really, her one job in this house is to take out Kevin Robert Martin, she would say. So she can't do it this week because he's the head of household. The thing is, though, next week he can't play for a head of household. All he has is the veto, and if they can get him out of then at that point, then I feel like, obviously, they feel like that any one of them could win the game.
Yeah, and there's a lot to unpack here, but as we speak, there's just things happening. Karen is talking to Kevin about, you know, I could vote out Dylan. That could be a thing that happens. So
basically, she just told him that it is not a good idea to make that move.
Yeah. So, you know, I we're going to continue to talk about this, but it could be completely irrelevant by the time we finish.
Yeah. Oh my God. If he had reversed it and was going to put Karen on the block, I don't think Dylan would vote Karen out. At least I don't think so. I don't know if they've like talked about it, but I think that his plan would actually potentially work if it was reversed. And instead of putting Dylan on the block, Karen was on the block.
Yeah, I agree. I think that, I mean, Dylan has up until early, just a, you know, an hour or so ago, was all on board with nominating or with evicting Dimitri. He was on board with Kevin's logic that Dimitri is a bigger comp threat and that Dylan has a better shot if Dimitri's not in the game, which is 100% true. So, like, it is in Dylan's best interest to eliminate Dimitri. However, Karen has a lot of influence over Dylan. Dylan doesn't really make his own moves very often, so he needs somebody to tell him what to do. The only person left to do so is either Karen or Kevin. He trusts Karen a lot more. So Karen was really pushing hard to say, no, we need to evict Aika over Dimitri. It did seem like she was making some headway, even though Dylan was very reluctant to go along with this. But if it's true that Dylan would vote out Aika over Dimitri, is it not better to put Dylan on the block and at least lose Dylan over Aika, who's much better than competitions than Aika is? What do you think, Brent?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, well, the interesting part is that Kevin has said that he would betray Dylan. For those people who don't know what's going to happen, if Kevin has his way and this plays out the way he wants it to, he wants Dimitri out at the final five, then he's going to go to the final four. He's told Dylan he would take him to the final two. That is a lie. He would vote out Dylan at the final four if he wins the veto and take Aika and Karen to the final three, hoping to ensure that he would become the final head of household and be able to take Karen to the end, which would fulfill all of the dreams of Rob Cisternino for a Kevin and Karen final two, which it's so funny. We started thinking about that, and then I sort of dismissed it as a possibility. Then the triple came and went, and here we are, and now I'm looking at the board, and I'm like, that's probably the most likely scenario if Kevin gets to the end, because if he gets to the end, it means he's won out, and if he's won out, he's going to take Karen. So, you know, it's probably going to be Kevin and Karen at the end.
I know, like, our wish list of, like, dream scenario could potentially happen where Kevin and Karen are sitting in the end, and she is screaming at him in the final two questioning on the live show, and then losing her mind when he potentially beats her in the end.
Potentially.
I will say that I don't think that, well, I would argue that there may be a way for Karen to beat Kevin, but let's move on for that for a second. I feel like Karen talking to Kevin about, look, let's just like fast forward to real time because everybody's watching. It is a live feeder. So Kevin won the veto. He's thinking about using the veto on Aika and putting up Dylan. That's what he told us in the storage room. That was his plan. Obviously, Karen is now talking to him. The fact that, you know, she might blow the plan here, I don't know if that's necessarily bad. And here's why. Because Kevin might think that she's bluffing. Kevin might think, I don't know, what game is this woman playing here that she's wanting me to put Dylan on the block, that she might vote him out? Like, is she playing me here? I still feel like he's ultimately going to go with his gut feeling, which is that Karen would really never vote against Dylan. She's just trying to play me. Remember, Karen doesn't like Kevin, and Kevin is aware of that, or at least has been aware of that. He seems to have forgotten that somewhat lately. So even though Twitter's freaking out right now that Karen's going to blow the plan, I still feel like Kevin's going to do what Kevin's going to do, and they're probably going to get what they want. The good thing about that is if he does end up taking down Aika and putting up Dylan, obviously Dylan's probably going to go home in that instance, and that's going to guarantee us, as JP pointed out on text to us, and Aika, Dimitri, or Kevin win if it's those three plus Karen in the final four. So that wouldn't be all bad and everyone would be happy.
Yeah, I can't excuse this. If Karen has just told him that she could vote out Dylan, like this is a possibility for her, he needs to recognize that there's a worst case scenario here, which is that he puts up Dylan and Dylan goes home and Dimitri is still in the game. And that's fine, like, because that's not the worst scenario. The worst case scenario is losing Aika or Karen because he can easily beat them in a competition. But he can easily do a better solution, which is put up Karen on the block.
Yep.
Dylan is not going to vote out Karen. You can talk to him and try to get a good read on him to ensure that that's true. And even if he, like, for some reason thought, like, you know, Dylan might do this, like, it's just, there's no way Dylan would do that, right? I mean, who knows?
Karen, I don't know.
Karen it is go to Dylan and say, Dylan, you have to vote to evict me. It's best for your game. Oh, I need to
she's
leave.
Been doing so much. I mean, I feel like she overplayed her hand a little bit before the veto because she was talking to Dylan saying, you know, no matter what, we have to keep Dimitri here. He's the only one who can defeat Kevin in a Final Four veto. If her ass ends up on the block next to Dimitri, I think she's going to wish that she didn't have that conversation. On the other hand, as somebody else has pointed out on Twitter, Karen really doesn't care at this point. It seems like she doesn't care if she wins the game. She just wants to make sure that Kevin doesn't win the game, and that's a whole nother ball of wax to fight against.
Yeah, she's reverted almost to, like, being a fan on the couch. I mean, she even, like, says it in the house, like, this is what, but the thing is, like, no, Karen, you don't know what the fans want anyway, so just, like, stop, like, just play for yourself or walk out, dude. I don't have any patience for this, like, kingmaker bullshit. You don't get to just, like, decide who you want to win. Like, well, I mean, obviously you do once you go to the jury, but, like, Why are you there? Why are you really there? I mean, you're there to just talk about how you don't have a chance, I guess. Okay.
The fans don't like it when people just give up their games. Like, that's, like, the thing I hate the most is when people just don't want to try and they just want to, like, hand it over to somebody else. I just hate that so much. If she would actually, like, try and be like, this is what I need to do in order to win the game. Like, I need to make this move. I need to make this move. I need to make this move. I'd be like, yes, Karen, perfect. Finally. Like, then I would be fine. Like, good with her winning, you know. It makes me so angry when people just lie down and say, I want you to win. I want you to take it. Like, let me just, like, lay on my sword. Like, I can't.
I guess my thing is that, like, I get the Kevin criticism that people, you know, people are like, Kevin's playing a bad game, but, like, dude, look around. Who's playing a good game? Dimitris has had to win comps to save himself like 6 times. Aika is trying to give up the best social game in the house and walk out the door for Dimitris, which is, like, universally the worst thing you can do in Big Brother, like, throw away a winning game for someone else. And we when that's Clay, we talk about, we make fun of it and talk about how horrible it is. But, like, when it's Aika, we're going to what? Just give her a pass. That's a little silly to me. And then Karen and Dylan, like, they shouldn't have never even been cast from my standpoint.
I mean, I don't know. I'm sort of torn. I feel like there's a little bit of a game within a game being played here. And I also feel like there's, like, a macro game. Like, if you know that you absolutely cannot win and you're just trying to get to the end to get $20,000, I don't really see anything wrong with somebody wanting to get to the end with the winner that they want. I mean, there have been people in reality shows like Lil who did that, who knew she wasn't going to win and decided to take the person to the end that she wanted. Obviously, I know you can make an argument that she would have beat Johnny Fairplay, but I really don't think that I really don't think she would have. I think Johnny would have beat her in a final two. So I don't have anything. I don't feel anything wrong with that. On the other hand, too, I also feel like that there is a real connection, and we've seen real connections happen over time. And I do kind of believe in the connection between Dimitris and Aika, and they know what the odds are. I mean, the Final Four veto is always massive. I looked at pictures of it earlier today and all the stuff you have to remember. Even if Dimitris is there, I really don't think he's probably going to beat Kevin. Maybe, but well, I mean, we'll see. I'm not sure. But I don't think that – I don't really feel bad for Aika for potentially giving up her game. If she definitely knows, you know, I feel like I'm going to be out soon and Kevin's going to take this home and I just want to prevent him from winning, maybe my bias for Aika is
– Yeah,
is
I can't get down with that judgment at all.
Yeah, okay, I hear you.
Yeah, I think it's a case of
that's
like –
That's petty to me. I mean, I know that's Aika in a nutshell, but that's really, really petty.
I think people hate this when it's people that they don't like and it's benefiting people that they don't like. But when it's happening to people that they do like, they make justifications for it. I really think that's the case here. Like, you know, when it's Clay doing it with Shelly, it's like, wow, what a this what a dumbass.
Yeah, right.
You know, how terrible. He's disrespecting the game when it's both Karen and Aika right down near the end. It's an entirely different story. And I do think that they're obviously not the exact same scenarios. And I actually will give Karen a pass here because I do think she really doesn't have much of a shot to win. I think she should still be trying, but I understand if she legitimately thinks she doesn't have a chance to win, which I do think is the case, like, then why not? I guess, you know, she can do whatever she wants. I'm not going to like rail on her, and I'm not going to rail on Aika either because I didn't rail on Clay. I don't have a problem with people giving up their games myself. But I do want to be consistent about who we criticize for it. So given the situation where it seems as though basically everybody in the house is willing to give up their game for Dimitri, except for maybe Dylan, but even then Dylan is basically willing to do whatever Karen tells him. Is there any way for Kevin to get Dimitri out no matter what he does? And if not, then again, isn't Dylan the right move to get out if he can't get out Dimitri?
I guess.
What do you think? Yeah.
I mean, it seems silly because, yeah, I mean, he's having these conversations with Dylan, like, you know, yesterday, and Dylan's like, well, I just don't know if I can trust you. Like, you're saying one thing, the other four are saying another. Dude, 4-1. That's all you need to know at this point. Like, Dylan just so does not understand this game. Like, numbers are all that matter at this point. It doesn't matter your personal relationships. Doesn't matter who you like or who you don't like. Who you like. No, Kevin is by himself. Kevin's word is going to be good because Kevin is by himself. That's all you need to know. And it's, yeah, I mean, again, it just comes back to, you know, Dylan, yeah, like, I mean, they're even talking in the house that Dylan is playing for second place money. And it just, it frustrates me to think that we're putting people in there who are just playing for cash because that, again, that goes back to the poker analogy. When someone is in there and they have a different goal than everyone else at the table, someone is playing like, oh, I just want to like make it to 50th so I can make a little bit of money versus I'm trying to win this thing. It changes the whole dynamic of the game.
Yeah, really, but does. Alex, I mean, but Dylan is, his radar is going off there, and wisely so, because Kevin's not telling him the truth. His word is not good, even though he's by himself. He's lying to Dylan that he's going to take him to the final two. He's going to cut him at the final four. So, I mean, I can't believe you're throwing shade on him for not believing him when Kevin is admittedly saying, I'm lying to your bitch ass.
Yes, it's a lie, but there's no scenario where saving Dimitri's is good for Dylan, and Dylan is like thinking like, well, you know, but the alternative is protecting Dimitri's. So.
I feel like there is a scenario, because if Kevin puts out Karen and Dimitri's votes out Karen and keeps Dimitri's, then Dimitri's could possibly defeat Kevin, who is a final two jury threat to end all jury threats. And now Dylan becomes the GOAT. He gets rid of the GOAT to take the place of the GOAT. Don't you,
you
see
don't
that?
Want to be a GOAT, though. You want to take out Dimitri's now. Well, there's one comp. There's three or four competitions still coming. You beat Kevin one time. You beat Kevin in final three. And now you're winning against Karen, as opposed to losing against someone else.
I would say that if it was like, here's the thing. I agree with you, because Godfrey tweeted something like this. All Kevin has to do is do this. And I said, well, remember the final three HOH competition, which is so bad that even you won, Godfrey. But they've changed it since the first season. And then even I feel like it's more trivia based. Like, and, you know, Queen, somebody pointed out to me on Twitter that Queen Kelsey got every one of these questions right in the final HOH. So I feel like in that instance, Kevin's always going to take this, and he's always going to take the final four veto like 90%, unless there's like a luck factor, like in season two when they had that big game board and they had to roll the dice. I mean, if he lands on a bad square and has to go back, you know, who knows? But I feel like that odds are Kevin's going to win it. And if you know that, I feel like you know what your play is here. You have to keep Dimitri to try to defeat Kevin, take the place of the GOAT, earn yourself $20,000, and there you go.
It's loser talk.
Are we really saying that his best move is to try for second place when he has a route to get first? Like, I think
because,
that's...
Brent? How much crap did you give Cody?
Because he can't win.
I don't think
it's
Karen.
It's like Cody had a crapshoot against Derek in the final two where he was like, what does this jury member say? Oh, I don't know. I mean, now it's like, on what day did this competition happen with four boys and two girls? Was it day 42 or day 43? I mean, like, there's no way that Dylan and Karen are going to beat Kevin in those types of questions. It's just not going to happen.
Your chances at like trivia competitions are not that high. Like, even if you're the most studied person, you're not going to win.
Kevin's like
every
Rain Man. Have you been watching him?
I mean, he's good at them, but like,
we'll see. I'm just telling you guys. I don't blame them for really fearing Kevin at this point, especially given how good he is in the comps and how good he is in a potential final two situation with all his friends and jury. Ike has been complaining that Kevin's going to get the mastermind edit, and really if he ends up winning the season, she's lamenting that because obviously they're the ones that have ruled the house this entire season, not Kevin, and she doesn't want Kevin to get the edit. I think she would actually be surprised by how people view her and Dimitri's. Because, I mean, people actually love them, and I think people kind of respect Kevin, but I feel like he's more popular with the alumni than he is with the general public.
Rain Man comparison is so good, because not only, right, is he, like, cerebral on a ridiculous level, but he's, like, constantly getting blamed for things he didn't do because his social skills are lacking, and, like, yeah, I'm just picturing Kevin at the poker table right now having a bit of a breakdown, just, it's really...
Amazing. Yeah, I just don't see why would anyone want to play for second place when even if it's a 1% chance that you win versus a 50% chance that you get second place, like Dylan doesn't need the money. Why does he care about being a goat in second place? Like why would he not go for first place? That just doesn't make any sense to me at all.
He needs the money.
It feels like you're just advocating for the thing you want to happen, Brent.
Yeah, but that's my place on this podcast. I mean, okay. You guys know who I am. Come on. Yeah, I mean, like, I own my biases, but I'm pretty transparent about them.
So another feed update. It sounds so something that we have failed to mention so far is that usually the veto ceremony takes place on Monday, but they have pushed it up to today. I assume.
So you're telling me that all Karen had to do was keep her mouth shut for about another hour and we could have had the best thing that we ever could have had. But instead, now there's the possibility that Karen has spooked our boy Kevin and he's probably going to leave the nominations the same. I think that's probably what happens.
It does feel a little bit like they really want this to happen. And so they pushed it up a day and really pushed it up soon.
But last year they also had the veto ceremony on Sunday as well, not Monday. Okay. So at least they're being consistent about that.
There you go. Fortuitous timing for Dimitri. The feeds could potentially be off right now for the power veto ceremony.
What if the feeds are off like all day? Twitter will go crazy.
I bet they will be. I mean, this happens all the time.
Yeah, I know.
Wouldn't it be great though if they came back and the veto was used? I mean,
Yeah, I will say the one thing that we don't want to see is Karen on the block. If I can Dimitri's on the block, frankly, I'm okay losing Ike at this point because I don't trust her to win a competition. I really don't. And if it's my dream of Dylan being on the block next to Dimitri, that would be great. The one bad thing is Karen because I don't really trust Dylan. Do I think he would vote out Karen? Yes. Do I trust him to vote out Karen? No. But I feel like he could if they talked to him enough and made him realize that, you know, by getting rid of Karen, you're improving your chances of being taken to the final two.
Yeah. This could be the power veto summary.
The feeds are off right now.
Yeah. It could be the movie that they're, I believe Kevin won a movie screening in
movie. We'll see.
but it does seem as though people, again, we're not watching the feeds right now. We're just going off of what people are talking about. And it seems as though people think Kevin is still going to put Dylan on the block after taking out off Ika, even though Karen told him that she would vote out Dylan.
Yeah, see, he thinks she's playing him. I just read that. He's shrugging off the fact that Dimitri's and Ika could actually flip Karen to vote the way that they want. So he's not hearing what Karen just told him. So Twitter, just calm down. Everything's going to be okay, like I said.
Yeah, and
the relationship is so ridiculous. Karen, if she had ever won HOH any time in this game, she would have nominated him so fast. Kevin keeps winning, and Karen seems to be like the only person he's protecting.
Yes.
And then
thank you.
It's so absurd. And then, Karen is like, so ready to, at any point she would flip on Kevin. She would like throw Kevin under the bus. She would turn on Kevin. It's just really a very, very different dynamic. I don't know why. I mean, Kevin, I guess just because Karen's beatable at this point, but it really is funny that, there's really not a lot on the other side. Like, Kevin,
I feel like
telling her truths and Karen's just like, I hate this guy.
Right. Melissa, I feel like that we've seen this before. Like when Dimitri and Ika, Ika had such a hard time with Jackie and they eventually decided, okay, you know, I hate her this entire time, but they called a truce and they decided to build up some trust between her and Jackie. And they trusted her that entire week. They ended up nominating Karen. Huge mistake. And then, of course, Jackie quickly turned her back on him. I feel like it's human nature to want to, like, make right that which you see wrong. And, you know, if you, somebody doesn't like you, you want that person to like you. So I feel like Ika tried to do that a little bit with Jackie. And here again with Kevin, I feel like he knows Karen doesn't like him, but for some reason, like, Karen's been the person he's probably been the most honest to and has, like, tried to protect this entire time and has tried to, like, cozy up to, even though she's actively plotting his demise behind his back.
Yeah, I feel like, I think Kevin thinks of it as more of, like, a funny rivalry, and Karen sees it more as, like, I absolutely hate him. Right. Like, I cannot stand him. So I think it's, like, I mean, because if I'm looking at it, I'm thinking, oh, this is like just a funny rivalry. I mean, there's no other reason for this. Like, there wasn't any like big fallout. Like, I just feel like there's no legitimate reason for Karen to like hate Kevin like she does. So I would assume my first instinct is, oh, it must just be like a funny thing for like the show or whatever. But like outside of this, we'll be friends. But she keeps saying like outside this, I'll not speak to him. Like, I'm never going to talk to him. It's just like, what the heck? Like, I have no idea, but I totally get it. Cause if somebody like hates me, I like go out of my way to try and make them not hate me anymore.
Yeah. Because you think it should work, right? Like, a logic dictates that, you know, right. You catch more flies with honey than vinegar, but this is one fly that is only responding to vinegar and you didn't realize they existed. This is one, some strange species, new species, like super fly that just doesn't
super fly.
That just doesn't care. I mean,
it just, it goes back to this idea of like Kevin thinking, like trying to frame everyone logically, and Karen is the antithesis. Nothing about Karen in relation to Kevin will ever be logical, because there's just this membrane of hate that came from nowhere.
I think we've like figured out Kevin, right? Where, so any, when somebody treats him poorly, he gravitates to them more. So as soon as Ika yelled at him, for his speech in the nominations where he said they broke promises, which Ika was very, very upset about. She went on a screaming, rant against him. Immediately following that, he was like, I want to use the veto on her. Like, he wants to do good things for the people that hate him and that are railing against him. And he wants to be as honest as possible with those people. Meanwhile, his allies, the people that like him, he's very cutthroat and he's very willing to not tell them the truth and to go back on his word. He usually will pick one person. This season it was Bruno. Last season it was Jordan, that he's completely good with. But the rest of his allies, like a, say, Johnny or a William, he's totally fine with, you know, backstabbing, cutting, lying to, whatever. And I think this is part of why he gets such a bad rap for being dishonest with his enemies, because they see him being dishonest with his friends and they're like, there's no way he's going to be honest with us, even though that's the case. He's honest with his enemies and dishonest with his friends. And so I think that's what's creating this dichotomy where nobody ever believes what Kevin is saying, and putting him in this terrible spot where even Kevin can't trust what other people are saying and he can't read what they're saying. And it's just all backwards, and he's not looking at it again through the lens of how other people might look at it. He's looking at it through the lens of, well, if this person hates me, then the optimal move is to get them to not hate me. And to do that, I need to tell them the truth and to be, you know, kind to them and help them. And then if I do that, then they're going to be, you know, happy about me, and then things are going to work out and it's going to be great.
And instead she's like, oh good, more things I can use against Kevin that he's telling me.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't want to give people the wrong impression here. Even though I think at this point it might even be potentially the best move to nominate Dylan here, to lose Dylan. If you can't get Dimitri, you might as well get Dylan. He's the second best competitor. Kevin is still doing it for all the wrong reasons. And the read is completely right. If Kevin puts Dylan up on the block after Karen told him that she is willing to vote Dylan out, I think that's a terrible misread. He's not doing it because of the reasons I'm talking about, where it's like, oh, he's recognizing that everybody is going to keep Dimitri no matter what. He's doing it because he thinks Karen was lying to him, and he's getting a totally wrong read here, which is very unfortunate. But bad move by Kevin, even if it ends up being the right move, I think.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. And it frustrates me because more people aren't willing to call him out on it. I was actually happy to see that John Party on Twitter was like, so this thing about taking Ika down and putting up Dylan, like, let's think about that a little bit more, Kevin. But then there's other people on Twitter that are like, well, no matter what, he has to win out anyway. So this dad, who cares about this? This really doesn't matter. Where I feel like it's incumbent upon us to call out the fact that he's actually got a total misread here. And he doesn't really know what he's doing. I said this before and I'll say it again. I actually don't really think he's that good of a Big Brother player. I feel like his read on the positions and the thoughts of the other people in the house and their motivations for why they do the things that they do is just so ass backwards sometimes. And I feel like I would like him more. First of all, I do love Kevin, but I feel like I would like his game more, and this is a game criticism, if he was able to at least acknowledge that and realize, oh, wow, I'm really not that good at reading some of these people. But instead, the show gives him like this mastermind edit, and he sort of plays into that, and that really drives me crazy.
He has made tons of missteps this season, but I do love Terrence's point that I made earlier about how Kevin really has made all these social misreads about where people's loyalties actually lie. But he sees like the path to victory very clearly. He's very good at seeing positioning. And on the other side, Aika has really had a great grasp on, you know, where everybody, like, except for Dre, on where everybody stands loyalty-wise and who they're really with. And she's been able to, as a result, she was able to navigate the middle, which is very difficult to do. It's something you can only do if you really understand the nature of the social relationships, because if you say the wrong thing to the wrong person, they'll run that information to somebody else and you're caught. So it's interesting. But then Aika doesn't, you know, clearly has not had the clairvoyancy to see a clear path to victory, because they've played a really messy game and put themselves in danger more often than they probably should have been. So yeah, it's an interesting comparison, and, you know, I mean, a contrast there.
Alex,
yeah.
I saw you say something on Twitter. I'm sorry, Taryn, did you want to add anything more to that?
Well, I did want to respond to what you were saying about Kevin and the mastermind edit. I don't think I'm not going to blame Kevin for that. I do think that Kevin recognizes, he talked a lot about this with Bruno, like, we suck. I'm really bad at this game. I know that. He's giving them what they want in the DR. I can't really blame him for doing that. And I can't really blame him for the edit that they then give him because he's able to give them what they want. What he's good at is giving them a good edit, and you know, he's bad at the game. And I think he knows he's bad. To the point where I could see him tanking his own final two game, where in his speech he describes how bad he is. Like, I know I'm bad at the game, and I know I got lucky with the competitions, and I know this person deserves it more, but you know what I mean? Like, I can see him totally doing that.
Don't go self-deprecation in that moment, Kevin. That's the moment to be proud and own your game. Don't you do it. That's terrible. If he gets all the way there, wins out, and then does that, ugh, heartbreaker.
Yeah, definitely. I wanted to ask you, because you alluded to it on Twitter, and I heard Taryn brought it up, the fact that Aika got so mad at Kevin for this nomination speech. Obviously, we didn't see it because the feeds are blacked out, but he basically said something about broken promises and how, you know, he fool me once, shame on whatever. I can never remember that damn phrase. But, you know, he was going to nominate Aika and Dimitri again because of the fact that they didn't fulfill the promises that they made when they made the Business Partners Alliance. And I'm thinking to myself, I don't understand why he would do this in a nomination speech. I mean, isn't the play, you guys are really great competitors, I really fear you in competitions, you're massive jury threats, and that's why I put you on the block, rather than throwing shade on them at their most vulnerable moment when you're nominating them? I mean, like, in the game, it feels like, you know, like it's death when you're nominated. So I don't know that that's necessarily a good play. And two, I feel like he's a bit of a hypocrite, too, because Kevin admittedly in the diary room says to us many times, like, I'm willing to lie, I'm willing to backtrack anybody, you know, break any promise, I'm willing to cut anybody to move myself forward in the game. I don't care. I'll do it to anybody. So I don't really even know why he would go that route to begin with. Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah. If you need to take something out on somebody, Karen's right there. She's been coming at you all season. Like,
Thank you.
It's not like your relationship could get any worse. So you might as well just be like, Karen. Vented her. She vents at you. What the hell?
Go ahead, Melissa.
I haven't seen the speech, but from my read on the way they were describing it, I guess, like, it makes sense to me for him to call them out because they went against that one deal. I don't necessarily think he was trying to say, like, oh, this whole game you guys have lied and cheated. And I mean, I haven't seen it, but from what I've heard, it doesn't sound like he was trying to say, you guys have lied and cheated the whole time, and I've been this honest player, so I'm putting you guys on the block because I don't like it when people lie. I feel like it was just, you know, A to B. Like, you guys said that you would do this for, like, we would be in an alliance, you wouldn't nominate me, and then you nominated me, so now I'm going to nominate you back. I feel like it was that sort of thing rather than, like, you know, you guys are liars and I'm not. I'm this clean, you know, angel of a player. I don't necessarily think that's what it was. And I think that it is kind of, I mean, I don't know. I think it is kind of at this point in the game appropriate to just be like, look, you guys said you weren't going to put me up, and then you did. So now I'm going to put you up in response. Because at this point, these aren't – there's no way they're going to work with him. There's no way that they're going to, you know, come together and form an alliance. I just think that it's pointless to try and be like, you guys are great competitors, like, you know, and try and, like, keep friendship when they already are going to go after him anyway, and he has to win out just to win.
Yeah, I guess my bigger question was, do we feel like are we mad at Aika for yelling at Kevin? Like, I was actually living for Aika there, but I know a lot of people on Twitter thought she was a little bit extra by complaining about broken promises to Kevin when she herself has done it many times.
Yeah, I mean, it just seems hypocritical, right? And the idea that, like, you're only going to win because the jury is bitter. Well, if the jury's bitter, then you shouldn't have, you know, had fights with all of them on their way out the door. You did that right. With Netta. You did that with Jackie. You did, like, you know, not great. Not great. But
she said people in glass houses shouldn't throw stones. But it's like, yeah, think about
right.
That
yeah,
for
you're
yourself,
breaking
too.
Glass like, you're as throwing you're saying stones this. Right now. Yeah, the glass yeah, is like, shattering around you. Yeah.
You guys already have lied you guys have all lied. Like, nobody should get mad at anybody else for, like, saying that you're lying and just calling you out for, like, what you've been doing. Like, it's just, yeah, like, I just accept
play
it.
Play that Julie Chen gif. Welcome to Big Brother.
I feel like I'm in Kevin's head. I feel like I know what he was thinking. He was thinking, all right, I have two explanations for this. One is the strategy. It's you two are big threats. I need to take you out if I want to win the game. And the other is what somebody who has emotions would do. And if they were hurt by what they did, then this is an obvious explanation. And so I can use, like, this seems reasonable, right?
Calling him a sociopath.
Can we talk about this really quickly?
If somebody was hurt by this, they would use this as a thing, right?
We haven't really even touched on the triple eviction. And I feel like that Ike and Demetrius did a bad job here of not explaining to Kevin the reasons why they put him on the block. And Kevin is a little bit of an idiot for not recognizing why they had to put him on the block. Like, let's go back to the beginning of the triple eviction. So Demetrius wins HOH. It's a triple. Now he has to nominate three people, not the normal two that they all thought he would. He obviously is going to take a swing at Dre and William. Those are the people who are actively plotting against Ika. The only people that stood by Ika and made sure that she was safe were Karen and Dylan. So obviously he's not going to touch them. He has a choice to make. It's either put up one of Karen and Dylan or put up Kevin. He has to put up Kevin, and they should have said this to him, and I'm mad at them for not doing it. They have to say, Kevin, look, we're going to keep you, but we have to. And they were you saw them talking about it. Let's put up Kevin and keep him. Well, you know, I don't know if ultimately they would have done that. I don't know if they would have, but we'll see. We'll never see, but I think they would have. It's just impossible for them to not put Kevin up in that instance if they're putting William on the block, because if they keep William off the block, put up somebody like Dylan, keep Kevin off the block, Kevin wins the veto, he saves William, now William comes down, Karen has to go up by default, and now Kevin and William control the votes with Dylan, Karen, and Dre on the block. They could easily keep Dre in that spot, and now two of your best allies are out of the house. I feel like if Ike and Demetrius would have just explained that to Kevin, it would have been a lot easier for him to take, but he's still nominated them. Yeah, 99% sure, but I feel like it would have been easier for him to take. Instead, he feels butthurt that they were just lying to him, and he also feels attacked because he went out in the triple the first time around, and that's been the bane of his existence, and then now that it was a triple and he was the outgoing HOH again, you saw when Arissa said, Kevin, as the outgoing HOH, you are not allowed to compete, and he was just like, you know. So I understand why he was mad, but I feel like they could have done a better job of diffusing it.
Yeah, and I think that's a good point, too, and I think it applies to what's happening now, where we're talking about Kevin not being aware enough of what the other people are doing to make the correct move here, but Ike and Dimitri and basically everyone else in the house is also, they're also not really aware of what's happening here. They're not aware of what Kevin's thinking. Honestly, Dylan is the one doing the best job of going back and forth and understanding where everybody is. Ike and Dimitri are just sitting there saying, we don't even want to talk to him, which might turn out to be a good move, ultimately, again, for the wrong reasons, but they are equally unaware of where Kevin stands, and that is equally bad, I think.
Right move for the wrong reason, story of the season.
Right. And I think why it's easy for that to happen is that when we're talking about right move and wrong move here, it's really minuscule at this point. It's about who has a slightly higher percentage to win against you in competitions, because it's all down to competitions at this point. And so it's so easy for things to flop in terms of what's the best move, what's the worst move, because it's just a matter of Dimitri is, like, you know, 20% more likely to win a competition than, you know, Ika. Therefore, it's best if he gets out Dimitri, and, you know, how he does that is so-and-so. And, you know, so there's definitely some minimizing happening when people are saying ultimately he just needs to win competitions anyway. But it really does come down to he just needs to win out anyway. So right. There's not a whole lot of difference between best move and worst move here.
Yeah. And I give him credit. Like, he is trying to find a social inroad. Like, he just keeps coming up against the wall. You know what I mean? Like, he's trying everything. I think that's, again, kind of what that speech was. Like, he's really trying to get Karen and Dylan to open their eyes. Like, I'm reminded of, there's like a Joe Rogan stand-up on Netflix where he's talking about, it's like an octopus trying to fit its body through a keyhole. Like, there's got to be a way. There's just got to be a way. And he's just trying to find every way to, like, squeeze this, like, gooey whole body through this tiny space. And that's what Kevin's doing right now, basically. Got to be a way in there. But there is no way in there. And, yeah, I mean, their eyes are sewn shut. So no matter what you try to do, it's not coming.
Every once in a while, Alex, you have the most absurd metaphors. And yes. Called animals every single time. Like, you have just a weird thing about animals. I think
that's right up there with
that octopus in the keyhole thing, and I just started laughing. I was like, I gotta
that's
go.
That's right. That's right up there with the whole. We should go out and get some homeless people to play Big Brother. I am.
Well, that wasn't a metaphor so much as a bad idea.
But. Yeah, I know.
All right. Do you guys have any other points you want to bring up before we get to the stock watch here?
Oh God, I feel like there was something else I wanted to say, but Dylan. You know, you mentioned that he's been doing the best job of going back and forth between everybody. He's really impressed me to a certain extent. I know people have been dogging him because they're like, well, he's only playing for second place, but I do give him credit for here's the thing. I give him credit for his radar going off at Kevin's line. I don't give him credit for telling Kevin, I think you're lying. I wish he would, like, just pretend to believe him and then go do what he wants. Ultimately, it really doesn't matter because I feel like Kevin has to win out in order to be safe. That being said, these last few competitions do favor him. But I do feel like Dylan has done I'm trying to give him a compliment. An okay job of, you know, becoming at least an average Big Brother player that seems to understand his position in the game. Don't you feel like, Melissa, you've been a fan of Dylan. You've at least liked him.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think he's been, pretty good these past couple weeks and trying to kind of find his place. And I think that for a little while when he was working with Dre, I was kind of impressed with what was going on.
Right.
Dylan
just, like, left. Then Dre just left. And then it was like, okay, like, well, that's over. But I do think that he's kind of, like, found a place where, like, the only thing is that he's so delusional sometimes. Like, when they were, like, saying, the other day or whatever, like, well, you know, if there was a fan favorite, it would go to Aika. And he was like, yeah, Aika or me, you know? And they were like, wait, what? Aika or you? Like, it was like, wait, what are you talking about? I've been trying to play down my athleticism, and I think that I have a really good chance of beating Kevin if it comes down to it. And it's like, no, you haven't won. You've won like one competition. Like, no, he's very delusional.
And that one where you were on the block in the double eviction, you couldn't even fit out of it. Like, there was no physical way for you to win that one.
I know, right? I keep going back to that one. And I keep going back to the one that they did. The one they did with the weights, because he looked like King Kong in that leotard that they had him in.
Like Andre the Giant, the playpen.
Oh, that leotard.
Oh, my gosh. My eyes.
God, this is crazy.
So, Melissa, you're not still a big Dylan fan like you were. You soured?
You know what? No, I do like that he's been nice to everybody who's still remaining. Like, I think that Kevin probably feels so alone. Like, a lot of the feeds he was by himself or, like, with the pig. But he's been the one person who's, like, actually been, like, talking with Kevin and, like, cooking with him and hanging out with him. And I just feel like, you know,
So let's put that person on the block. That makes perfect sense, right?
Well, no, I'm not, you know, all I'm saying is that, like, it's nice to have somebody, like, be nice to them. I don't know, maybe strategically I understand why Kevin might do it, whatever, but I just think that, like, Dylan's being very friendly and it's good, and, you know, and I think it's interesting that now, ever since the last eviction, Dylan's family was all in the audience, so he was getting a lot of cheers. Now everyone thinks he's, like, a fan favorite. Which is kind of crazy.
Yeah. Is that what it was? I wondered why he was getting
I didn't realize that he had like a big contingent of family. That makes perfect sense. Because that's what I was about to ask next. It's like, do you think it was the Thursday eviction that really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely seems that. But that makes a lot more sense. Because I was like, who are these people?
When he voted, he got like tons of cheers. He was all about
he's loved.
Did they find these? Did they just lock them in from the street and they just like them aesthetically? These aren't fans. They can't be.
Honestly, this just goes back to the fact that like they shouldn't be able to hear the audience. It affects everything. It totally affects how they view each other, how they view the game moving forward, how they view how like if they want to like stay in Canada's good graces, so that way they like keep with like they work with the people that Canada supposedly loves and they get out the people that Canada supposedly hates, according to the audience.
Yeah.
I just think it's crazy. It's so unfair. I really don't like how they do that. They shouldn't be able to hear anything from the outside.
Yeah,
especially knowing that, you know, people are going to pull it.
Sorry. I keep trying to talk and no, everybody keeps talking over, which is like what I do normally. And I'm like, is my mic not on? Like,
oh my God, is it going on? To me? It's talking God. Over me all of a sudden? This what can't be hell? Happening. My mic must not be
Go
on.
Go ahead, Alex.
just especially with, I don't know. I forget what I was going to say. It's all you. The floor is yours.
No, I was just going to say that I don't understand Kevin here because Dylan has been the only guy who's been spending time with him. He's the only guy who's been actually talking with him. And then you're going to put that guy up? Like, why are you doing that? Why don't you put the old lady downstairs who hates your guts? Like, put her up on the block. Why don't you? I don't understand what he's thinking here. Like I said, Karen spilled the beans, who knows what he's going to do? I ultimately do think he'll go through with his plan, but I think the feeds are off right now.
Well, again, it's like Karen is the one that's upset with him, and Dylan is the one trying to be friends with him. So with Karen logic, you do the nice thing for the person that hates you, and you betray the person that you think is being nice to you.
See, that's why I mean to all you people.
You're just like Kevin.
I think it's definitely, you know, we don't like that, you know, like Melissa was saying, the audience factor is big, but it's like made so much bigger when we know in this game that sometimes Canada can award a veto or Canada mm-hmm. can be HOA. You know what I mean? Like you have to consider what Canada wants. It's, you know, we sit here and say like it's dumb to play for the audience, and it really kind of is. But there is an element in the back of a Big Brother Canada player's mind that if you lose the audience, you're going to lose the game because it doesn't matter. Like Zach Olenek was in a really strong position, but he didn't have the audience. And so he was never going to win. You know, it's like that is in the back of people's heads. So it's very tricky. It reminds me of like, I forget, Rob did a podcast recently where people were talking about how you have to play production. You have to play the audience. You have to play the players. And I mean, you know, it really, maybe it was you, Taryn, actually that said that, but yeah, it really does create a very difficult cocktail to try to, put down there.
Yeah.
Before we find out the results of what happens with Kevin, you know, potentially using the veto, I will, you know, I've been dragging Kevin for most of the time, so I'll offer a small defense here. The fact that Karen went to him and basically said, you know, because Kevin said, you know, he views the Dylan and Karen more as a pair, and Karen said, no, that's done now. It's over with, you know, and she, you know, intimated that maybe she'd be willing to vote him out. I feel like that Karen, sorry, I feel like God, they're both, I had this earlier with Lita and Liana. I kept mixing up their names. With Kevin, I feel like Kevin would be thinking to himself that Karen has never really been truthful with me, and thus she's probably bluffing me. Like, why would she tell me this? Like, she doesn't want me to put Dylan on the block, so maybe I should put Dylan on the block. Like, I could see where his reverse psychology would get him to actually do his original plan in the first place.
Yeah. And talking again about Dylan, the thing that strikes me about Dylan and the reason why we're talking about him is like, wow, why is Dylan all of a sudden seeming like he's doing an okay job? And I think it's because there's two players in the house that aren't even playing. They're playing for somebody else. There's two players in the house that can only win competitions from this point on. Dylan is the only person remaining that's actually playing Big Brother. Like, he's the only one that's actually
Yeah, but he's only playing for second place. He's not even playing for first anymore, so we don't really have anybody.
Well, Kevin did tell him that if he got to the end with Karen, that Dylan would win 9-0. So that's his only real path for a win. And I don't know if he believes that. He probably still thinks pretty highly of himself.
He probably assumes he's lying to him. Yeah.
He thinks he's lying. It's like, yeah.
If Kevin's telling you the truth, it's a sure bet that one of these people thinks Kevin's lying.
Right.
scenario. If Kevin's lying, they might believe him. But if Kevin's telling the truth, it's definitely getting interpreted as a lie at this point in the game.
All right, so let's get into the stock watch here. There's only five players left, so this isn't going to take as long. But let's start with Kevin. Kevin, who seemingly was on his way out the door before the triple last week. You have to imagine his stock has risen considerably. No, Alex?
Gotta go up. Yeah, I thought for sure the triple. I mean, it just seemed too to prophesied, right? Like, this is written in the clouds or the stars or whatever. Like, this is Kevin's fate in the Big Brother house. We had talked about how, like, people seem to be going out in ways that almost, you know, reflected in some way their first time going out. And it just seemed like we were setting up for this. Like, I had resigned myself to the almost certainty of it. And yeah, I mean, crazy, crazy, you know, turn of events that had to happen. Dimitri's winning and then Kevin winning. I mean, it's like, but yeah, he saved himself. And as a result, now that was the biggest hurdle. He, like you say, he still has to win out. So it still is not great odds, but it's the hardest part is done.
I will say that I listened to you guys' podcast on Thursday night where you said that you had Dimitris and then you had Kevin, Ika, and Dylan, and then Karen at the bottom, obviously. I really thought you guys, and not throwing shade at you, but I thought the three of you really made a bad call on that because I put all of my eggs in Kevin's basket just based on the kind of competitions that are going to come up and the fact that he's already into the final four. He only has to win two more competitions to get to the end, and they're competitions that play to his strengths. I mean, Kevin doesn't, you know, I know he's lost some competitions to Dimitris, but the kind of competitions that are coming up down the line that Big Brother Canada uses are competitions that are so in his wheelhouse. And apparently the Final Five veto competition was like something about diving into a pool and dragging dummies back and forth. Like, I don't even like, yeah, Karen really had a chance to win that one, Trevor Boris. Thanks for that one. I really appreciate that. Yeah. No, I mean, like, I feel like that more than anyone, I would fear Kevin at this point, not just because of his competition prowess. Obviously, for me, the stock watch is way up. I feel like he's going to be the winner of this season. And the fact that his jury is made up of people that absolutely love him.
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing for me is that when you look at the, you know, prior performance in competitions, Dimitri has won a lot more than Kevin. His percentage is a lot higher. And up until this veto, every single win that Kevin has gotten in the house has been in a competition where Dimitri was not playing. Kevin had never beaten Dimitri in a competition up until this most recent one. So, I mean, I still think that Dimitri probably is the favorite to win over Kevin
really?
In most competitions.
Well, apparently he barely beat him in this one.
Exactly.
Like, apparently it was really close, yeah.
So, I'd still say I'd take Dimitri over Kevin here.
Okay.
Well, this is not the first time Kevin has had to carry a dummy in the Big Brother house.
Ah!
I won't name names.
That's some shade right there.
Coming after Jordan when he's not even on the podcast.
I didn't name names.
I still would take Dimitri, but as Kevin, I mean, honestly, I think most people on the Stockwatch this week are going to be up just on the fact alone that they went from final eight to final five.
Right.
But Kevin, definitely on the up here. Moving on, let's go to Dimitri. Where do you think Dimitri falls from last week to this week, Melissa?
God, that's really hard because I don't know if he goes up or down or just stays the same. I feel like he stays the same at this point. I don't know. Cause I don't think he goes up because there's a good chance he might go home this week, but I also don't think he goes down because there's a good chance he might stay. So I kind of just like, I'm in the middle cause I don't know whether he's going to go or stay. It's totally up in the air at this point.
I agree. Yeah. If it was a stock, you don't want to sell because if he wins this one, now he's a front runner. But
yeah.
If you were to start buying and he goes home this week, then you're ruining your decisions. So yeah, hold is the move. I agree.
Hold for Dimitris. I mean, you know, he lost this competition to Kevin. He's going to have to depend on other people basically saving his game. But if he does make it to final four, he has two chances to guarantee his safety into the final three. To me, I mean, I feel like if he gets to the final four, he's going to win one of those two, especially on the first one where he doesn't have to compete against Kevin. The final three HOH competition is the one that I would worry about if I was Dimitri, because I feel like, you know, the way they do it, it's always trivia. It's not a luck competition like it is here in the US. And unless he really knows his days, you know, back and forth and sideways, I don't feel like he's likely to beat Kevin. I feel like his best opportunity to get rid of Kevin and win the game is at the final four veto, which Godfrey said on Twitter as well.
Yeah. I really feel like Dimitri is the front runner at this point, especially if the fact that he lost this veto and still is likely to stay, I think really just like puts him even further ahead in terms of win equity here. And that's more than I can say for him last week. So I would actually be buying on Dimitri right now. And I really think that he's still the most likely winner of the season. So I'm all in on Dimitri at the
really
moment.
Really yeah. you would bet on him over Kevin in a comp at the end.
I mean I think it would be very close, and okay. But I don't think they're going to be competing in the final three, to be honest. I think it's not particularly likely that they're even at that point. I think Dimitri probably beats Kevin at the final four veto if he stays there. I think he has a better chance at that. Anyway,
well, I'm hoping that happens. I mean, not the former that you said, not the latter. I'm really hoping that Dimitri is able to stay, win HOH, Kevin wins the veto, and we really get a barn burner on finale night between the two of them, and obviously Karen.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy because like it would be great if Kevin could win the final four HOH and then Dimitri win veto, so that the final three could be Aika, Kevin, and Dimitri, which I just feel like would be the best final three. I know people like Karen, and I know that they would like to see that too. And I would like to see a Karen Kevin final two. That would be great as well.
There's no way for a Dimitri, Aika, and Kevin final three. Karen has to be eliminated if Dimitri stays this week. Yeah.
What happens if it gets down to Karen, Aika, and Dimitri's in the final three, and then Karen wins the comp? Who would she take?
Impossible.
but let's say, who would she take?
I think she'd take Dimitri and let him win.
Yeah. That's what the fans would want. You're such a good player, Dimitri's.
I don't know. She really likes Aika, though. She really has gotten well with Aika over the past
The fans
week.
Don't want to see a veteran win.
No, I felt like that would be interesting. And don't put that out of the realm of the possibility. First of all, you know, a final three HOH final part, you know, anybody could win that. It's just pressing a button A or B.
Yeah, but she has to get there by winning a physical type of thing.
But if she's against Aika, like what, obviously we're way ahead, but if it gets down to the three of them, the first part is always endurance, and we don't know what kind of an endurance it could be. Obviously, Dimitri should let Aika win that if it's down to the two of them, and then him beat Karen in final two. Because if he takes the first part and Karen has to beat Aika has to beat Karen, I feel like that there is a way that Aika could possibly lose that. She hasn't exactly been burning it up lately.
You were talking about who we said were front runners on Thursday night, and you know, if I could go back, and I don't know that I necessarily still would put him as high as I do, but I still think really good chance. Like, I think Dylan should have been my number one, because I really think he is the best shot to get to the final three, and he should win one of the two. And then all he has to do is like pull a sweet little upset on, like, did they say A or B? And now Dylan won the game.
Yeah,
I'm crying in my pillow.
No, I don't think that'll happen, because like they said, Kelsey got all the questions last year, and it is true. If Kelsey got all of the questions, that means they're going to ask questions that you can prepare for that are not like luck based, which means Kevin should have that down.
So it's not like, did Johnny Mac say something about teeth or something about a dentist chair? Like,
yes, exactly. Exactly.
I don't think we should undersell Dylan's ability in question competitions, though. I mean, he was right there with it with against Dimitri in that, you know, triple eviction competition. This trivia stuff, you can prepare all you want. You get a question that you just don't happen to know, and you have to guess, and you happen to get it wrong, and the other person happens to guess, and they happen to get it right. There's a lot of variance in them, and that's why they work so well in Big Brother. It definitely, you know, largely favors certain people, but physical competitions are much easier to predict than quiz competitions. So I would not say that Dylan can't win against either Kevin or Dimitri in that final part.
Yeah, I'm not thrilled about it, but with the way the veterans just took each other out at the knees all season long, like, Dylan is probably the winner we deserve. I hate to say it. I'm sorry.
Hush your mouth.
I know.
So, I mean, so let's talk about Dylan. I feel like Dylan is, again, he's up from last week, no? I mean, even if he doesn't have a great shot at winning that final three HOH, I mean, we're looking at a potential for Dylan to win this game. Whereas, like, I don't know if that was really that big of a thing last week, or certainly not in prior weeks.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to say that, look, I'm going to go with my gut. I'm going to say Kevin follows through with his plan, regardless of what Karen said to him. And if he goes on the block, he's out. So I don't know how that we can how can we say he's by definition up if his most likely outcome this week is that he's evicted at the final five? I think he's on the downslope here.
I mean, I think for me, last week I was saying there's probably not really any chance that he wins the game. This week I'm saying he's like the second most likely person to win the game. So I think he's up from last week, but I still wouldn't be buying him this week, if that makes sense. Like, I think he's up from where he was, but he's still not past the point of like, I think he's like a front runner.
Here's the thing. I feel like the disconnect.
Yeah, but he's still cheap. Like, people aren't onto it yet.
True.
So bye.
I feel like okay, as far as the Stockwatch goes, I would agree with that. I feel like the disconnect in this podcast, and, you know, I'll go back and look at a few of these comps just to make sure I remember what I'm seeing, but I just don't feel like there's any way that someone like Dylan could win one of these comps coming down the stretch. There's things that you can prepare for, and I don't feel like he even knows his days close to as well as Kevin does. So I really don't feel like he's that big of a threat at all, but I'm willing to eat crow if I'm wrong.
All right. So then we got to talk about Karen. I feel like Karen is it's the same, right? I mean, she was very down.
Karen's up, bitch. Karen's up.
She's up.
She's up. I don't care what y'all say. Karen is Canada's player. She's here to give us what we want. We want Ika, Demetrius, and Kevin in the final four. That is what Miss Karen's going to get us. I'm all in on Karen.
Yeah, don't you talk bad on me, Taryn Armstrong.
This is perfectly representative of Brent's analysis.
Thank you. That's what I'm here for. Yes.
I think she's the same. What do you think, Alex?
Yeah. I mean, I think compounded by now, like, you know, what I suspected for a while, which is that like Karen can't win, I now feel pretty confident about. And I think that now, you know, increasingly I'm seeing things that even make me think she's aware enough to know it. Okay. Although there's the other side of me that thinks she is, you know, going to get up there and just, you know, sell a story, you know, Christy Bennett-esque almost, of a game that never took place that no one ever saw.
Alex is so bitter.
Oh my God. Here we go.
But, yeah, I mean, you know, it's tough. I don't think that Karen can win, but what can you do? You obviously, if you had stock in Karen, you don't get rid of it because Karen's not going anywhere anytime soon. But
yeah,
it's just
likely.
Very hard to see a path to victory.
Here's the thing. I wanted to know from you guys, because I know you alluded to this on Twitter, Alex. Melissa and Taryn, do you think that Karen feels that she can win the game? Like, is she just kind of playing around with people here? Or does she really feel like that she can win?
I was really trying to figure it out, and then I realized like how many hours I had spent trying to study Karen's psyche. I had to get outside. I was just like, oh man, I'm like, my brain is swirling.
What do you think, Melissa? What do you think?
Scary place to be.
I don't know. Like, it's hard to say because Karen says a lot of things and then actually is thinking something else. So like, it's totally possible that she thinks that she could, if she could just get to the end, and maybe this is her way of trying to get to the end. And then she's going to get to the end and come up with this whole speech about how she knew all along what was going on. And she like picked out things that she was going to do and she did them. And, you know, she kind of, she molded the season by picking certain people who needed to go and stuff like that. I mean, she was just talking to Ike and Demetrius earlier today saying that like, she picked out the targets each week, essentially, or like that she had picked out, like she's told them when this person needed to go and this person needed to go, and all these people that went, where they went because they were bad for Karen's game. So, I mean, and they were kind of feeding along with that. They were like, yeah, I mean, you did tell us you wanted us to get Netta out before or whatever. And so it was just like, I don't know. I think that she could absolutely get to the end and have this whole speech about how the whole season would kind of went along with what she had wanted, but she was just too behind the scenes the whole time. So no one saw her outright. And so she did this crazy mastermind thing. And I mean, it's possible that some people on the jury might be convinced. I mean, depending on who's on the jury at that point. But I mean, I don't know. I mean, Dylan might be convinced. I don't know.
I agree.
All right, that's fair.
First of all, I would much rather her do something like that than just basically fall on her sword at the end, like Gina Marie, and be like,
that was Gina Marie's best. She was trying.
Oh, God.
Oh, I feel like that would be more entertaining. And I do feel like that there are people on the jury that would consider a Karen win. You know, like if she goes, I tweeted this, like she said something to the effect of, look, if I get to the final two, you know, I'm just going to tell them, look, I played the best game that I could at this age. If you don't like it, F y'all. Like, right. That would be great.
Hoping it's like a because Hollywood audience, Lifetime Achievement Award. Yeah.
The audience would be like cheering for her till kingdom come if she said something like that. Like, I mean, the power of the audience should not be underestimated in a final two speech. If Kevin's up there giving some strategy seminar about this, and they're like, yawn, and then Miss Karen comes up there, look, I'm a 53-year-old woman, I'm an old lady, I tried my best, you know, I'm sorry. I can see five votes on a jury for her, and y'all can say no until the cows come home, but I can see it.
I just, after you said that, I just envisioned Kevin giving a PowerPoint on finale night. Like, if you'll refer to subset A of paragraph three, you see here why I did what I did in my second HOH.
Right.
Well, laser pointer.
Let's talk about these votes, right? So I did get a question from Tom Palmer. I don't want to skip Ica's turn on the stopwatch, but he asked if Kevin doesn't use this veto, has Karen won over DeMica's jury votes, and will they advocate for her in the jury if that's the case? In a final two between Karen and Dylan, can she win? And so, I mean, I think that's true. I think they would vote for Karen over Dylan for sure, right? So that's two votes. Can she get three more to win over Dylan? What do you think, Alex?
I don't think so. I keep coming back to, and I guess it's because it's fresh in my head. A couple weeks ago, Rob talked with Tyson on a Survivor podcast. And I just, this idea that Tyson kept presenting, which is that more than anything, like people can't bring themselves to have the winner of their season be someone who presents like a version of events that no one can get down with. You know what I mean? Like the Debbie character who would, like, if Debbie were to get to a final tribal council, Debbie would claim a lot of big grandiose things that people on the jury would be like, just no, I didn't see that. You know what I mean? And if you didn't see that, it's hard for you to be like, yeah, totally, I'm going to give you the money. So I think Karen's problem is that Dylan's going to get up there, and Dylan might not say I did all these great things, but Dylan will probably be pretty down to earth about how he sells what he did do. Like, look, I just tried to figure this game out. I'm a big guy. I was always a big target. You know, he'll just say some stuff like that. And if Karen is like, you know, really just kind of like shooting the moon, so to speak, I think she'll run into the problem where people are just like, we can't, you know, her version of events is so far removed from what I saw in that house that I just don't think people are going to be able to reconcile those things.
Yeah. And who are Ica and Dimitri going to have sway over in that jury? Cindy, you know, had that terrible goodbye message from Karen. You know, Cindy's not gonna like Karen. I don't think Netta is going to respect Karen's game. I think that while Bruno likes Karen, I think Bruno is maybe a potential vote for Karen, which I don't know, maybe Bruno talks Kevin into it, but I don't know if Bruno cares that much. I'm trying here, and maybe if Kevin is talked into it by Bruno, then Kevin talks William into it, but I know Dre was full on for Dylan. So I think if Karen won in that situation, she'd probably need Kevin, Bruno, and William along with Ica and Dimitri. It just seems really unlikely to me.
Yeah, yeah, it seems unlikely to me. You know, saying that reminded me about the fact that I was watching Dre's exit interview, and I really wasn't living for the look that she was serving there. Like, she seemed a little bitter, and she was like, I'm not impressed by any of the games left in the house. And I just kind of wonder what you guys, did anybody hear any of the exit interviews? I know there were three of them, mm-hmm. and all released at the same time for various outlets. Alex, you're shaking your head. Yes.
Yeah. The best was that Jackie. Well, Rob's like, Jackie, who are you close to? And like, oh, William and Dre, it's going to be so hard not seeing them for so long. It's like, they're in the car behind you. They're in the car right behind you. And he's like, well, who do you want to see win? And she's like, oh, definitely either William or Dre. Like, if anyone, like, you know, it's like, this is Jackie in a nutshell, man. Jackie's just like always given the answer of the person who's next out. Like, who's your number one? The person, the one walking up the stairs and out the door right now.
That's if you're evicted, do not hug the people that just voted for you. She hugged William and Dre, and they were the people that were evicted that night. So not a good idea.
Oh, God.
All right. So finally, let's talk about Ica on the Stockwatch. Where has Ica gone from last week? Because she's in an interesting place. I do think that Dimitri has really gotten to a point where I think he can win against her in the end. I think that's definitely a possibility. But I do think it's still up in the air. But the problem is the only way she gets there is basically if Dimitri takes her, right? Like, there's very little chance that she takes herself there, and nobody but Dimitri will take her. Is that correct? What do you think, Alex?
Based on what we've seen so far, yeah. I mean, you know, down the stretch, I've always felt like these comps were, you know, there's degrees of crapshooting going on here. So could Aika win something here? Absolutely, I think. You know, you shouldn't count her out because she's a person with a pulse in a competition has a lot of luck involved. So that in and of itself gives her a shot. But yeah, I mean, it's hard to see given that we haven't seen her win anything. She's been very hard on herself and down on herself for not doing so. I feel like there is an element of that that compounds, right? Where it's like if somebody keeps winning, then they're going to continue to win. We see it a lot in Big Brother, where I think like a confidence and momentum are factors with some of these competitions. You know, certainly not when it's like Aaron winning a roulette wheel. That's kind of random. But like, I think there are times where, you know, wins build on themselves. And certainly, I think more than anything with losses, we see it all the time where people are just like, why can't I win anything after a few competitions? And that is that kind of negative thinking when you're trapped in a house with nothing else to distract you can really manifest itself into like, you know, going out there and not having like the drive and the confidence that you need to beat some of these like bigger competitors.
Yeah. And I think the fact that, you know, after Dimitri took that drive with Cindy, he talked to Aika about how Cindy saw him as a lapdog, and Aika went around telling everybody he is not a lapdog. He makes his own. I want everybody to be clear about this. And the fact that Kevin legitimately feels like Aika is going to throw her game away for Dimitri. That's why he needs to take Aika off the block, because he can see her self-evicting in order to save Dimitri. If Kevin goes into the jury saying, yeah, Aika was about to self-evict in order to save Dimitri, I don't think they're going to continue to see him as her puppy lapdog. I think they're going to start to see him as potentially the person that's driving the game that they didn't even realize was happening, and they might vote him over her. So
can we talk about that, though? Like, I mean, like, I heard Kevin give this explanation in the pantry about, you know, well, I need to take Aika off the block and replace her with Dylan because Aika might self-evict, you know, giving Dimitri her spot. I'm like, even if you take her off the block and she self-evicts, I mean, that moves the game forward another week. I don't think you would then get to nominate another person at that point. Like, I don't feel like his reason for doing this is because he's worried Aika will self-evict, but Aika could still self-evict even if she's not on the block, and Dimitri could still be saved. So I don't understand what he's thinking here. He didn't really mention it a whole lot, but his bigger issue is depending on Dylan and Karen to do what he wants. I think the only time he really intimated that was when he said that, you know, this game is in, or this final five is in Dylan and Karen's hands. And so, you know, I can understand why he might be a little bit jittery about that.
Yeah. So, yeah, I've got to say, I think I might be down on Aika from last week. I'm not liking her chances. The only way she gets to final two probably is with Dimitri. And I think her chances of beating Dimitri are going down from what they used to be. So I've got to be down on Aika here.
Yeah, I'm down on Aika as well. I do feel like there's a chance that Karen, if she miraculously pulled off a final three HOH, she might take Aika to the end. But I'm not sure. I mean, I feel like that's, I think she's more likely to take Dimitri, and I don't even know why I'm talking about this because it's not going to happen.
All right. So let's get into
We're down to the wire here in the season.
On the other hand,
talk about every hypothetical, right?
Right. On the other hand, so many people poo-pooed Rob about talking about Kevin and Karen, and here we are.
Yeah, there we go. So let's get into some questions. I got one from from GK on Twitter. Aika went off on Kevin and said he'd only beat her because of a bitter jury. You brought this up, Alex. Should she really be blaming him or herself? If this is a bitter jury, if they're really going to vote for Kevin over Aika, is that really Kevin's fault or the jury's fault, or is this Aika's fault? What do you think, Melissa?
I don't know. I don't think that it's anybody's fault, really. I just think that, like, if the jury... I don't know. If the jury's bitter, the jury's bitter. And if not, and it's not, I don't necessarily think it's because of what one person did or like what Kevin did or what Aika did. I think it's like people are just bitter when they get out. And if they're bitter when they get out, it's not necessarily against like individual people. I think it's just generally bitter. I don't know. I just don't think they would see logically. I think it would just be, I don't know.
Well, let's examine this final two.
I don't see the returning players being bitter, personally. I think the returning players, like, by and large, like, especially Netta. Netta doesn't want that reputation. But that being said, Aika picked a fight with Netta right before Netta left. Aika picked a fight with Jackie right before Jackie left. Jackie will be bitter towards Aika. I guarantee there's no scenario where Jackie gives Aika her vote. Aika did not need to do all that and went above and beyond in her, like, destruction of Jack. I mean, she really owned her. She won that fight to 30 times over, but she ain't getting a vote. So
I don't know.
I think there. You think Jackie would vote for Aika?
I think there are scenarios that Jackie could vote for Aika.
Oh, I don't think so.
Okay, all right. Well, and also, in fairness to you, the goodbye message that Dimitri left for Jackie, if it's Dimitri and
Aika
in the final two, obviously it was very good, yes.
That in and of itself, right. Aika goes out yelling at you. Dimitri's goes out saying, like, you were a fighter and you tried so hard and you had such an uphill battle. Like,
I think the jury could talk to her and say, look, at least, you know, Aika was being real with you and Dimitri was kissing your ass. So, you know.
Are people really, like, when it comes to Aika versus Dimitri's per se, like, are, you know, Bruno, like, Netta, some of these people really going to, like, go to bat for Aika? I think that's what Aika's missing in that jury house is someone who was, like, you know, maybe Dre would, but Dre likes Dimitri's too. So I think Aika doesn't have that person who's in there who's, like, championing her cause, so to speak.
Sorry.
I do want to focus on Kevin here because I think there's a lot of sentiment that that Aika's right, that Kevin doesn't deserve to win over Aika because Aika's played a better game and Kevin is so terrible at the game. But if Kevin does beat her, like, what does that say? You know, has Kevin played a worse game or has Aika played a worse game or are they comparable? And what does the jury vote say about that?
I think it says when she had enough pull in the house that if she was really thinking on along these lines that she should have not let, like, Bruno get to jury. Keep, you know, why is Gary not in jury? Why is Cass not in jury? Why are all these people who are amenable to working to you? You know what I mean? Like, you had opportunities to flip and to save these people. You chose not to take them pre-jury, knowing who was then going to be on the jury. Like, these decisions in week two, week three, week four compound throughout the course of the game to, you know, every time that you evict someone, you have to think about not just who am I evicting, but who am I leaving behind? And I think that's something Aika didn't really do because now here we are. And yeah, I think there's a lot of people who were pre-jury who would have been much more amenable to her as a winner.
Yeah, and I really don't see it that Kevin has played so much worse than Aika. I really think that they've played comparable games just on opposite ends of a spectrum where Kevin is just way too logical and Aika is way too focused on personal relationships, whether it's Dre or whether it's Dimitri. And I think that, you know, ultimately that has resulted in, you know, Kevin, the competitions, the way things have played out, it resulted in Kevin losing all of his friends into the jury and Aika losing most of her friends pre-jury and, you know, alienating people who are going into the jury. And ultimately, that's, you know, that's why Aika will potentially lose against Kevin in the final two, if that ever did occur, which it probably won't anyway.
Yeah, that's the one scenario that I really can't see is Kevin and Aika in the final two. I don't know. I feel like that it's easier to hate on Kevin's game than it is on Aika's game because Aika was the underdog for most of the time and she, like, rose up to be the queen when she was being forced to do things that were against her better judgment early in the season because of her alliance. On the other hand, I mean, I hear what Alex is saying about, you know, getting rid of Gary, getting rid of Cass, getting rid of Dallas. But on the other hand, if she had done that, then she's exposed much sooner than she ultimately was. And maybe she isn't in the position that she's in right now. So I feel like it's really hard to, and I hear what you're saying, but I feel like it's really hard to look at, like, week three, week four and think, oh, well, I need to keep this person in case I end up in the final two. Like, I feel like that's a bridge too far.
That's fair. But I think, you know, it's a fork in the road and you have to pick one and stick with it. Either you're taking these people out now and leaving Kevin's friends and Kevin under no circumstances can get to the end, or you're going the other way and, you know, making the move when you do to ensure that you beat Kevin,
yeah.
You know?
Can we talk about this really quickly? Because someone else said this on Twitter and they wanted me to bring this up. So are we going to have another winner of Big Brother if Kevin wins, who was saved by a twist? And what I'm talking about is the secret veto, because there are a lot of people who think that if the nominations had remained the same, and remember, Kevin was the one saying, you know, don't use the veto on me. You know, I understand if it's better for your game, don't use the veto to William. He didn't know about the secret veto. There are a lot of people that are saying that Aika would have gotten her way that week, that Bruno would have been safe, that Kevin would have gone home. And I kind of want to know if they're right. What do you think, Taryn?
It flipped a lot this week. I mean, the last I had seen, it seemed like they wanted to keep Kevin, right?
Yeah, they were planning on keeping Kevin, and also I think the fact that William won the veto, the also won the actual veto, just because he didn't use the veto, I think the reason he didn't use the actual veto is because he had the secret veto, and so he felt like that was the better option. But I think you said yourself, there's no way he's not using that veto on Kevin. I don't think there's any way that William doesn't use that veto on Kevin.
Oh, here's an interesting talking point. If, like, you know, now obviously with the, you know, the clairvoyance of hindsight and everything, if William had kind of like taken the bigger swing and saved both Kevin and Bruno, is he maybe safe in the triple? Bruno's a much bigger target than him.
Yeah.
Is there a chance? Now looking back, I mean, obviously he can't know there's a triple coming, but like William was exposed in the triple in a way he probably isn't if Bruno's another just big body in front of him, right?
Yeah, I feel like that lends itself to like keeping various layers in front of you, like not just having one giant shield but two giant shields so that you don't even go up on the block, so that even if one of those persons wins the veto, you're not nominated. I feel like that he would have done well to remember that. But here's the thing. I think he was, we're all big boys and girls. We know what really happens on reality shows. I feel like he was definitely pushed by Big Brother to use the secret veto, and I don't think they really cared about him using the regular veto. Like, they wanted their twist to play out. And so do I feel like he would have used it one way or the other? Yes, I do. So I'll probably reject the point that I posited earlier, that maybe if Kevin is the winner, he was ultimately saved by a twist. However, I do feel like that, I mean, I don't know, I just wonder how that would have played out if he ultimately would have used both vetoes and saved Bruno and Kevin there. I do feel like he's probably safe in the triple. But on the other hand, like you said, we're omniscient and we know what's coming.
Yeah, I think what he wanted was Bruno to leave and for him to be Kevin's number one.
Yeah, that's what I made that point at the time too. I forgot about that. He wanted his sweet Babu all to himself.
It's the Britney move. It's I'm going to take out Willow so Sarah doesn't have her, right? It's like that same thing, which, you know, we looked back at and, you know, said like maybe that wasn't a good move. When there are people on the other side, what are you doing taking out? Even if it's not your number, it's like there's one degree of separation between you and them. So work with them short term and take them out long term.
By the way, just to calm down Twitter, I was recently texted this by somebody. We were talking about, is Kevin going to use the veto or not? And I said, I feel like he is. I feel like he probably thinks that Karen, even though we think that Karen spooked him, I still feel like he'll feel like Karen is not being totally truthful with him. And the person who texts me back says, I feel like he's had this plan in his head all night and all morning and for sure thinks that Karen is playing him and he wants the big sexy TV moment. We would have seen him struggling and thinking hard this morning if he was considering whether or not to change his mind, because he always talks out loud. So can we at least rip Kevin a new butthole for always trying to make the sexy move? Like, if he just left well enough alone, I feel like that everything would be fine as far as leaving Dimitri and Ike on the block to break up the power couple. But again, by trying to make the sexy move, which is, this is not the first time he has done this before, trying to make the sexy move, I feel like he's going to shoot himself in the foot here, Melissa. Don't you?
Oh, definitely. I definitely think he is. I think that...
And why does he do that? Why does he want to make the sexy move for TV? Well, who the hell cares what TV thinks?
I know. I think he's... Yeah, I think he's not thinking as like a winner. I think he's thinking as like, you know, a character, and thinking as like, what would they like to see? Because yeah, people would like to see it, but it's not good for him. And I don't think he's looking enough ahead as to like, okay, yeah, maybe that's like a fun, like cool move to make and the people will love it. But then what happens to me after that? Like, what happens after that move? So I don't think he's thinking enough ahead. And I don't think he's thinking in terms of like, how do I win this? I think he's thinking in terms of like, let me make a big move that Canada loves and that people are excited about and that gets the people talking.
Right.
And then not thinking further than that.
You know what? I thought that Kevin, I was watching this last night on YouTube and I'm like, oh my God, this is Kevin Martin. I was watching The Roadrunner and Wile E. Coyote. Like when he puts like the dynamite underneath the bridge and the Roadrunner just runs across it. And then he like walks over to the dynamite and wonders why and like tinkers with it a little bit and it blows up in his face and he's looking. Like, that's what I feel like Kevin's going to be after the veto ceremony. Like, we'll see, but I'm pretty sure that Kevin Martin is actually the Wile E. Coyote in disguise.
You're just like speeding over the loose rock, coming, jumping on it and just falling to your death.
I was laughing so hard when I don't know why I was watching this on YouTube. I just like, I haven't seen those cartoons in like 30 years. Oh my God, I'm aging myself right now. Save me, Taryn.
why would I save you?
I grew up on Looney Tunes, man.
All right. I think that's just about all there is to talk about, unless you guys have any further points that you want to bring up before we wrap this up.
I guess not. Right. The next time, yeah, I don't know. The next time we talk Big Brother, Toronto. Oh,
yes.
Yes. Toronto? Yes.
Three of us are going to be in Toronto. Yes.
Yes. This Thursday, May 11th, we will be in Toronto in person. You can come and see us. It's going to be great.
Do.
If you're,
yes,
if you're in the area, you know, I think there are still plenty of seats available. If you want to, you know, show up and, you know, hang out, feel free to do so.
Throw a shade at Taryn. Oh, hi. What? Hi. I didn't say anything.
Just throw shade at me. Just throw shade at Brent if you want.
We got some former players coming out now. We can officially say that. We thought that was the case, but now we know for sure.
Okay.
That's good.
Yes, there'll be former players. We will be there. We will be talking about the episode. We'll be watching it live. It'll be great. It'll be a lot of fun. Having a whole crowd to watch the episodes is just so much fun. You definitely want to be there and experience it if you can. So make sure you check that out. I do want to ask if anybody has any ideas for a hashtag for this podcast. Brent, you have an idea?
Oh, I said it earlier. I was like, and I don't know if you guys will go along with it. Nobody ever likes my hashtag. They always think they're too esoteric. But like, I liked hashtag Superfly because Alex said that earlier, and I thought it was a really fun hashtag. But if you think of something that you like more, you're more than welcome to use it.
I wrote in the chat, octopus's keyhole.
That doesn't sound very good, dear.
It doesn't very long.
Is it octopuses or octopi?
Octopi.
But they say octopus's garden, so I was gonna say,
it's true. Yeah, it's possessive, so I think it might be octopuses. Octopuses.
This is the real thing that we should have been talking about all podcast. We need to figure this out.
Yes, yeah. Yes. I'm intrigued now. I'm going to look it up.
All right. So I believe
disingenuine. Yes.
I believe Brent and I will be on tomorrow night to talk about the HOH competition and the nominations with Rob Cesternino, none other than. And yes, as we mentioned, we'll be live in Toronto. I believe Jordan and Melissa will be taking over while we are gone. And make sure you check all that out. Again, Lita and I have been covering Team Ninja Warrior. It's been a lot of fun. We're not doing a great job of actually covering the show, but we are doing a great job of just like messing around and having fun. So make sure you check that out if you want to. Brent, let me know if you have anything you want to plug here.
Yeah, like we stole Lita for a weekend and she came over with me and Liana Boris when Mike Bloom was on vacation. And we talked about RuPaul's Drag Race. We just recorded that podcast. As I said earlier in this podcast, I can't remember if I said on the podcast or with you guys in the pre-show, like it was a nightmare with Liana and Lita. I kept going back and forth between their names. I could not keep them straight. So that was fun listening to me for the first 90 seconds of that podcast. But I was the host. And as I've always said many times, thank you, Taryn, for hosting us. It's a chore when you're the host because you have to direct the conversation. So the three of us appreciate you taking over as host of the roundtable. We really do like you, even though I throw shade on you.
Well, thank you, Brent.
You're welcome.
Alex, do you have anything you want to plug here?
Yeah, I mean, you know, still, you know, working on some stuff for post-show recaps, which is... the sister site that we have that's scripted drama and stuff like that. The Leftovers and Better Call Saul are the two big shows that we've got going on over there right now. So, yeah, that's part of what I'm working on. I'm not on those, but I'm learning editing and stuff like that. So I'm really enjoying that. And, yeah, definitely check out those podcasts. The Leftovers especially, I think, has been really a necessary companion piece to what is a very, very cerebral show.
Yeah, so you heard it here. If you have any problems with the editing of those podcasts, direct your complaints to Alex Kidwell. Those are great shows, and they are great podcasts, so make sure you check those out. I feel like Octopus's Keyhole.
We could do that.
Lord, save me.
I also like Rain Man Martin. We could do that.
Rain Man Martin's pretty good. Yeah, I don't know.
Let people choose.
You can break the tie, Brent. What do you think?
I go with Rain Man Martin. Definitely.
All right, we'll do Rain Man Martin. So if you want to reach us on Twitter, Alex is at Alex Kidwell. Brent is at One Lucky Gay. Melissa is at It's Melissa with 3 A's. And I am at Armstrong Taryn. We'll be tweeting about Big Brother Canada 5 as it reaches its end. And it's going to be a lot of fun. So for Brent, Melissa, Alex, and I, hashtag Rain Man Martin. We will see you next time.